Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Today's gospel is a continuation of what Pastor Chris was preaching on, the gospel lesson for last week. It's part of what's called the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. It's kind of like the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. There's some differences. Sermons, of course, it's on a mountain versus on the plain. But Luke has sort of more, he has it more balanced out with things. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, it has blessed are you, blessed are you. For Luke, we have blessings and woes, and that was in last week's gospel lesson. For example, if you'll recall, blessed are you who are poor, woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are hungry now, woe to you who are full now. Blessed are you who weep now, woe to you who laugh now. And blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you and revile you, spurn your name as evil, and woe to you when all people speak well of you. And I want to read those again because it's so backwards from the way that we think of how the world should be or the world is. I doubt there's very many of us that are really hungry. I mean, like haven't eaten for days, right? I doubt that there's many of us who are completely impoverished here or I mean, all of these things. We have friends, right? I mean, you know, and these things are really hard to hear. And it drives the point more home to say blessed and woe, right? To have the, each of those two opposites there. Well, in today's gospel lesson, that's the same sort of thing, this upside-down kingdom, that God's kingdom is characterized by things that seem backwards to us in the way that we think of the world and the way that we think of things. And not only that, he has them balanced out as well. He has these hard sayings, and then he kind of talks about it more and says, well, yeah, because not that is what even sinners do. So we have to rise to a higher standard. And he really nails it down. So let's see what he talks about. For example, Jesus says, love your enemies. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. From one who takes away your cloak, give your tunic also. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. It's kind of like Jesus says, hey, Broncos fans, root for the Chiefs. No. Hey, Broncos fans, root for the Raiders. It's nice to be back in Colorado again. Yes, it's totally backwards. Here's another thought experiment. Think of Facebook, right? Does Facebook seem to have this kind of pray for your enemies mentality? Probably not. Not the one that I've seen. What if God had a Facebook? What if instead God had a Gracebook? What would Gracebook look like? Well, for starters, according to Jesus, on Gracebook, you would have a list of enemies rather than a list of friends. On Gracebook, when people offer these flame posts, you know what I'm talking about, where you start these arguments, or you're trying to post something nice, and they start making all these comments on your post, you know, or maybe they put up embarrassing pictures of you. On Gracebook, you would respond by saying positive things about them. We would respond by asking God to shower them with blessings, with grace, with love. Instead of just ignoring those obnoxious posts that other people put on there, on Gracebook, we would respond with messages of love. We would offer prayers that God would shower them with blessings. In the face of what on Facebook sometimes seems more like anti-social media, Gracebook truly would be social media. And on Gracebook, there would be no advertisements. Am I wrong? Instead, according to today's gospel, we would just upload money to our Gracebook account. And anyone who wanted some of that money could just take it. And maybe they needed more and there's not enough there. So you might get a notification to add more. Or maybe it would just automatically directly debit money from your account to cover the amount that the other person asked for, or that they needed, to cover the amount requested. Yeah, that would be Gracebook, according to today's gospel. And why? Why is it that Jesus is telling us to be like this? Just as with the blessings and the woes of last week's gospel seem just too hard for us to do, today's good news seems rather hard to do indeed as well. Sometimes it seems like in our world, everything around us in the media, everything around us just seems geared, designed to get us angry, to divide us up into this group and this group and this group. For example, critical race theory. This critical race theory says that there are only oppressors and the oppressed. And whether you are an oppressor or one who is oppressed is determined solely by the color of your skin. And so as a result of whatever skin color you are and whether you're in that oppressor group or the oppressed group, we are to knock down the oppressors and raise up the oppressed solely based on the color of your skin. But doing this, identifying these group of people based on these immutable characteristics as oppressors, and these as oppressed, and setting us at each other to fight it out and flip it around, all that does is gets us fighting at each other. And let's say it was successful to flip that around, now you just have everyone resentful, and now you have a new set of oppressors and a new set of oppressed. It's designed to set us against each other in some kind of unending, unresolvable conflict. It's wrong. Evil divides us up. Instead, Jesus tells us to have the opposite attitude. Why? Because that is exactly how God treats us. After all, we want to be gods of our own lives, whether we admit it or not. I've got to be in control. I've got to get this done. I've got to get this fixed. Oh my gosh, I'm in charge of this. Everything needs to be the way I want. And this person isn't doing what I need them to do, so I've got to get them to do what I want them to do. I've got to get them on my page and get them doing what I need to do. We want to be in control. And in so doing, we sort of nudge out God and say, I got this. And we are enemies of God. More so at other times than others, but at some point and at various points, we are enemies of God. And so us being enemies of God, how does God treat us? After all, we killed Jesus. Today's gospel says God is kind to the grateful. Excuse me. God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Are we ever ungrateful sometimes for God's blessings? He says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. We wanted to be God. We killed Jesus. We weren't there 2,000 years ago, but we were there. We killed Jesus. And on the cross, in the moment of his death, Jesus prayed for us. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Jesus says to us, judge not, and you will not be judged. He says, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken, and running over. God treats us, his enemies, by giving his life for us. And what would our world be like if we treated others in the same way? As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. We call it the golden rule. It's in today's gospel. Treat others the way that you wish, not the way that you are, the way that you wish to be treated, it says in the Greek. Imagine a world characterized by Gracebook rather than Facebook. Imagine a world where rather than protesting or boycotting or flame posting or mean tweeting or arguing on television, instead, we prayed for our enemies. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. It is what Jesus tells us to do. I saw this in someone once, this kind of attitude that Jesus talks about. I saw a reflection of God in this man's eyes. I was in Ocean Springs, Mississippi in 2006. In November, it was about 6 weeks after Hurricane Katrina hit, and we were working at Ocean Springs in Biloxi, helping folks. We sent out crews to help muck out the houses and take out the drywall and spray all of the bleach to kill all the mold. We helped people whatever we had there at the church. People would bring things and we would distribute them as folks came in. We would talk with them. And then there was another pastor and I there. We kind of went around to all the different groups. We would visit with different parishioners. We would go visit with just different people in the community. And there was one day that we were in Biloxi. And it was not the nice section of Biloxi, if there really is one. Yeah, I guess there is. There's some nicer areas of Biloxi. But it can be a little rough. I mean, there's these houses that are really old, that are folks in this neighborhoods are impoverished. And I mean, the houses would just be on these concrete pilings, not even a real foundation. And some of the houses just floated up and were in the middle of the road. It was the craziest thing. And there was this one couple, it was a black couple, it was a sister and a brother. And they lived in this one house, and it was a very low income type of house, what you would think of in a neighborhood. It was rough. And we were talking with them, and the man was explaining to me how he had been working all of these years. He worked as a maintenance person at one of the local casinos. And he was saving up his money and buying records. And his dream was to eventually be able to buy enough records to get a nice enough setup so that he could be a DJ and make a living at it. So that was what his dream was. And he was telling me, and his sister was there as well, we were talking, and he was telling me about how the hurricane, when it came, just destroyed everything. And I said, everything? He said, yeah, let me show you. So he took us through the house. And we went in the front, and the front, it was the house, and there was a room that had been added, sort of like an enclosed porch or something, later on. He lived in the back room, and she lived in the main house, and there was kind of furniture there, and it was kind of nice, but it was completely covered in dirt. Just total, like, the mud had come in from the hurricane. Everything was completely underwater in Biloxi, everything. And it just brought the mud in and went down, and then it had dried, and there was just dirt covering everything. It was destroyed. We walked through the room to the back room, and that was his room. And there was no furniture there. There was just a mattress lying on the floor. And there were piles of records about this high all around the room. Hundreds and hundreds of records. Thousands and thousands of dollars worth of music. All of it covered in dirt, completely destroyed. And I said, wow, this has got to hurt. That you've done all this work to save up and trying to accomplish your dream. And it's all right here. And it was all taken by the hurricane. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? He said, yeah, but there's people down the road in the nicer neighborhood that have nicer houses than us. They lost a lot more than we did. He said, there was even at times looters would come in and there was like beautiful pictures and artwork and all of the nice things in their house, and they would just come and just take it. And he said, that just added to the pain for them. He said, that's horrible. And I said, yeah, maybe those were things that they had memories about stuff. Yeah. He said, right. And his focus was not what we think. It was not to say, well, I'm poor and they got what they deserved. No. His focus was compassion. And he said something to describe how he felt. He thought for a second as we were talking about this. And I told him, I said, I think that's amazing. And he says, no, it's not. It's just we're all here. He says, it's kind of like this. We all came here on different ships, but now we're all in the same boat. We all came here on different ships, but now we're all in the same boat. And the thing is, we're all in the same boat, whether we realize it or not. We're all, at some point, enemies of God. That God wants to draw back into his, be reconciled to. And we as the church are called to show that reflection in our eyes of the God that we know, that forgives us and loves us. And we are to share that with others, to pray for our enemies. Or as Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Imagine what we could do in our world if we did that. Or do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. From one who takes away your cloak, give your tunic also. For this is what God does. Except instead of a tunic and a cloak, he gives us his life that we also may have eternal life. May the Lord Almighty keep our days and our deeds in his peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.